So tonight, Wednesday night, we're going to learn Rav Pinkus's Torah. Rav Shimshon Pinkus is a personal favorite of mine. We've been learning his Torah for many, many years, sporadically. Some years we have, some years we haven't. But I keep going back to it because I find a personal connection to it. I think he's very current and he's very... you could take a lot from his Torah. That's why his Sfarim are not just popular with me, but with many, many thousands of others, both in Hebrew and English. His Sfarim are bestsellers. Unfortunately, he was nifter in a car accident, him and his wife and some children, and that was a terrible loss for Klal Yisrael. But after he was nifter, much of his Torah was printed in Sfarim. There were some Sfarim that he wrote before he was Nifter, on Tefillah and on Torah and on other things, but a lot of his, I would say a bulk of his Chidushim, taken a lot from recordings, were transcribed into Sfarim, and we are the beneficiaries. So he has a Sefer called Tiferes Shimshon. It's multi-volumed on all of the parashas in the Torah. It wasn't actually a sefer written a la Torah. It's more of a likud. Whoever compiled this sefer took pieces from all of his other svarim and sort of plugged them into psukim in every parasha in the Torah. So it's a beautiful set of svarim, but it's not a sefer that was written for Chumash. It was a likud, which is not uncommon. You find other gedolim they have done that with as well. So this week's parsha, being that it's Parshas Kisavei, we're going to learn the first piece in the Tiferes Shimshon on the parsha. I'm sorry, I have to have somebody next week, Emetz Hashem, take the ditto and put it up on the Zoom. And Mary, you want to do that?
Okay.
Or if you don't want to, you don't have to. But
I don't have to.
Okay. Fine. Mayor Solomon would, but Mayor Solomon is not attending these vadin this year. Okay. The pasuk says, "V'lakachto me'reishis pri kol pri adama." The beginning of Parshas Kisavei, we have the parsha of Bikurim, and Bikurim is a mitzvah. Bipsukim el nitzavino al mitzvahs havas bikurim. Bizmanch beis mikdash hayakayim, when the beis mikdash was around, haisa mitzvah lahavi al hakayin, beveis hamikdash es haperis harishayim shagadlu began bardesim, vayim mailam haisam yushalayim besalam yafim utarim, beroiv am ubisimcha ubiklizemer. So he basically summarizes beautifully what the mitzvah bikurim is. What is the mitzvah bikurim? As is described at the beginning of this week's parsha, if you are a farmer and you have crops that are growing in your field or vineyard or in your vineyard, you would basically take the first fruits that grow every single year. Those are called bikurim, and you're very excited. If anyone's ever planted something, you plant tomatoes or green peppers or something in your backyard. And all of a sudden, you plant it as a seed and you water it, and eventually it actually grows into an edible vegetable. It's a very exciting experience. Now imagine if that happened to you and you're like chalishing to eat this first fruit that you worked so hard to plant and to till the soil and to do everything. You have such that you want to taste it. It looks so delicious. You want to be able to really taste the fruits of your labor, literally. And what you do is, all of a sudden, the Torah comes, and it commands you to what? No. You have to take that first fruit, put it in a basket, a nice basket, and dress it up, and you drive it down to your Yerushalayim, to the Beis HaMikdash, and you give it to the Kayin. Meaning, you deprive yourself of something that you worked so hard on. This is something that I really want to try. You're chalishing. You're just dying to taste the sweetness of the fruit and see how good a job you did. And the Torah stops you. The Torah says, "Nope, you can't eat that. You got to tie a string around it. let it grow a little more, and then you pluck it and you put it in a basket, you bring it to the kohen. The kohen gets to eat it, but not you. That's the mitzvah of Bikurim. What's the mitzvah of Bikurim? What's the aside of this mitzvah? Basically, the aside of the mitzvah is that you have to give HaKadosh Baruch Hu the best. Exactly what you want, this is what I was building up for, this is what I was hoping for. All that you were dreaming about, all the success that you were almost able to taste, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, no, stop and give it to me. I want to have it. Not that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to take it away from you, but he wants to teach you something, a lesson that you're supposed to give HaKadosh Baruch Hu your best. In life, we're naturally inclined to take the best for ourselves. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants you always to take the best, and instead of enjoying it yourself, give it to the Rabbeinu Shalom. Elevate it. Make it something that, as much as you want to do something, I'm going to dedicate that desire heavenward. That's the aside of the mitzvah Bikurim. Now he says, "B'yameinu ein lanu mitzvah Bikurim." Notice that nowadays there's no mitzvah Bikurim. Aval harayin hachashav hayafesh shel hamitzvah negeh aleinu kam kayem. But just because we don't have a mitzvah today, even if you live in Eretz Yisrael, there's no mitzvah Bikurim. But there still is the lesson, the moral of mitzvahs Bikurim does apply to us. How does it apply to us today? He says, "B'derech klal ha'peiros ha'yishen chavim b'yisra ha'baleim." In general, the first fruits are the ones that are sweetest and most precious to their bialim. Hare hutzipa lehem shana shlema. He was anticipating them, desiring them, craving them for a full year. Amel b'sadeyu b'meshech acharif akasha, the bitter winter, he went out in the cold and he was doing whatever he had to make sure that the fruits were growing properly or they would grow properly. Ve'einav kalais la'aviv, and his eyes were like dreaming and peering towards the springtime. Lirais charev amoli, he wanted the payoff. The payoff comes after all that labor. When does the dividends come to a person? In the spring. That's when all of a sudden, you know, the snow is gone, the frost is gone, the cold is gone, and all of a sudden you start seeing the budding fruits on your trees, on your vines. Barer Eifai, Shekasha Yaitse Hula Sadeh of Reyes Aperes Hushainim Kamachavim Eimalab. You can imagine how precious these first fruits are once they appear. The chefza lekachtem habaisa, and what does he want to do? He wants to take them home. Shiyenuhu mishpachtem. Imagine the scene, a beautiful scene. Farmer comes home and he says, "Guys, we have supper tonight. This is what we've all been waiting for." And they start cutting up the grapes and the pomegranates and all the shivas aminim, everything that they grew the whole year. They're about to eat that. Aymeres hatera. The Torah says no. Harishainim v'achavivim heim chelka shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The first fruits, those precious first fruits that you desire to have, they are the chelak of Hashem. They are not yours. They are the portion that belongs to the Rabbeinu Shalom. Aleinu lizkar meichan ba'alana bracha hazu. We have to remember at this time, you didn't make those fruits. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created those fruits. HaKadosh Baruch Hu naisen lanu es haperus, im kol kach harbe chen va'ava, with all the charm and the love that he put into these fruits. If you want to hear a great mussar about how you can learn so many lessons from fruits, who would you think of besides Rameyer? Who would you think of besides Rameyer answering? Very good. Well, he just came in. He chapped the whole shir without even being here. It's amazing. So Avigdor Miller was the guyan in this. Avigdor Miller could sit and for an hour or much more probably, but at least an hour, he would basically describe the virtues of an apple. How much can you talk about an apple already? He would notice what other people didn't notice. He would notice the color of the apple, the way the peel of the apple keeps the apple fresh. Like once an apple like is cut, the whole thing turns brown. But it comes in like a saran wrap. The Rebbeinu Shlomo keeps it preserved with a peel. The peel could have been like a bland color, but he makes beautiful colors. He makes yellow and red and green. And then it has a certain sweetness to it. It has a texture to it. And inside the apple, how there are seeds, and the seeds themselves are factories that could produce hundreds and thousands of other trees and other apples. And you can go on and on like about this forever. If you want to, there's videos of him like speaking about an apple and you know how the brilliance that he had, a banana, and how again the yellow and the peel and the texture and everything in the banana. He could talk about any fruit for hours. He could talk about any subject for hours, for that matter. If you look at his farim, he knew everything about everything. It's an amazing thing. He could talk about the eye and how the miracle that the eye is. We take it for granted. We wake up in the morning and open up your eyes and boom, whatever you're looking at has an automatic focus. If you have your iPhones or whatever, and you want to take a video of something, let's say I'm taking a video of something up close, and then I quickly lift up the iPhone to take something far, what happens to that picture in those seconds? It's blurry, right? For what? The camera has to, as sophisticated as the equipment is, and the iPhone's pretty sophisticated, it still takes time to refocus for the camera's eye to be able to hop that, okay, we're going from close up to far away. And it's blurry for a few seconds or for a part of a second at least. Now do that with a human eye. If you have bli ein hara, if you have good eyes, you look down in the paper, you look up, and there's no lag time. You're basically able to immediately focus on far and near in real time. That's a miracle. That's not something that we should take for granted. And if anything would go wrong in our brain, chas v'shalom, an optic nerve or something, that would be the end of our vision. Every day HaKadosh Baruch Hu protects the eye. Even the way our face is formed is to protect the eye. If you notice, there's a forehead, okay, and the eyes are inset. They're set beneath the forehead, so if chas v'shalom, a person like bangs into a wall or into a steering wheel, the eyes are protected. Imagine if your eyes were on top of your forehead. Every time you bang into a wall, you know, you're going to hurt your eyes. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu created everything with such perfection and such precision. So there is so much chen and ava, as Rav Pinchas says, in every fruit. And you want to enjoy it. Nires hasala peres v'etenu. You see this basket of fruit of Bikurim in your house, called Pri Bitsura Acheres V'Tam Acher, and every fruit has its own appearance, has its own taste. Kadosh Baruch Hu didn't have to make such a plethora of fruit, an orange with its unique taste and its unique consistency, and an apple and a banana and a kiwi and a strawberry and a peach. Every one of them is completely different. It's Shamayim and Aretz between every single fruit. They're not even close. It's apples and oranges. But that's the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu created it. Eze shal tzvam, how many different colors HaKadosh Baruch Hu made these fruits. Kama ava me HaKadosh Baruch Hu goyleshes eilein misal kazeh. This basket of fruit is basically a basket of love from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hazanes ha'olam b'chein b'ches rachamim. It's interesting. We say HaKadosh Baruch Hu feeds humanity b'chein. What does it mean he does it with chein? Chein is a very hard word to understand. Chein means charm. What does it mean HaKadosh Baruch Hu does it, he's charming with us? He feeds the world with charm? What does that mean? We say it every day in benching. What does it mean? So the way Rav Pinchas seems to be understanding this word is that, not that he himself does it with chein, but the food themselves have such chein. It's an amazing thing. Everything that we have, whether it's a grape, a berry, everything, a plum, they're all so different and so colorful. HaKadosh Baruch Hu could have just made it very, very homogenous. They were all the same. They all taste the same, look the same. The reason why HaKadosh Baruch Hu made such variety in fruits and vegetables and meats and flowers and everything is because he's zanes ha'olam b'chein b'chesed rachem. He does it with chein. He has a special touch. He has a special creativity that he wants to share with us. He doesn't want us to have, you know, the same thing every single day. He wants to give us that variety. There's an interesting Yerushalmi in Kiddushin, I believe, that says that Lasid Lavai, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, all the fruits that a person did not enjoy in this world will come to the person and have tainus on the person and say, why didn't you enjoy me in this world? HaKadosh Baruch Hu put me in this world for you to enjoy me and you never enjoyed me. The stipler was very makbid on all the things that Chazal say or all the Svar Makadashim. You know, there's different foods that you're not supposed to eat because they're kashu l'shikcha. They have a whole list of things you're not supposed to do. You know, you're not supposed to, wear a shirt backwards, kashu l'shikcha. You're not supposed to wear more than one hat on your head, it's kashu l'shikcha. A few things that you're not supposed to do, kashu l'shikcha. One of the things that's very bad for your memory that you're going to forget your Torah is if you eat olives. That's what the Gemara says, right? Because the Gemara, I think, that says that olives are kashu l'shikcha. So the stipler was in a quandary because mitzad echad, he didn't want to forget his learning. He's very makbid on trying to retain all of his memory. So he didn't want to have an olive because it's bad for his memory. Mitzad sheni, he knew this Yerushalmi in Kiddushin that the olive is going to come to him someday with a taina. Why didn't you eat me? So once a year, the stipler had one single olive every year. So to mekayim the Yerushalmi and not to have to forget that much taira. But
he could put it with oil, but that filled with pua.
Yeah, I think it's. I think the Gemara seems to be the Yerushalmi seems to be saying you have to have the actual fruit.
So this is the
chayin. This is how HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to have chayin. He wants us to enjoy this world. You know, we think that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is very, you know, strict and rigid, and he wants us to be very ascetic and, you know, be perish from Eilam Hazeh, and it's not really true. As long as we are doing it, we're not being overly indulgent in Eilam Hazeh. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is very happy when we enjoy this world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to have a geshmak of life. He wants us to live nicely. Now, you can't, obviously you can go overboard with this and just be busy all day and all night with just enjoying life, and that's not good. We have to learn, we have to daven, we have to be serious about life, but in the context of eating and drinking and enjoying, there's plenty of room to enjoy what HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yeah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is very colorful. He's very creative. He's very he's a great chef. He's a great cook, if you will. Look at all of the foods that he creates for us every single day. That's b'chein b'ches the rachma. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has rachmanis, and he does things with such a chein, with such a graciousness. And so we want to enjoy it. So these first fruits begin to bud. This is like a kiss of love from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This didn't happen. This wasn't Mother Nature. This is HaKadosh Baruch Hu giving us this apple, giving us this pomegranate, giving us this fig, this date, this grape. And we return the love to him, the Imrim. You know what? You gave this to us with such love. We're going to reciprocate. Hine ha'priya rishayin, harihu kodesh la'ashem, la'aviyo la'kayin la'beisim. We want to give it back to you. As much as you gave to us, we want to reciprocate, we want to give it back. That's the mitzvah bikurim. That's the beauty of the mitzvah bikurim. Es harayin shal mitzvah bikurim alein la'kayin b'chol mitzvah tayar. Now, this is true not just for fruits, because that doesn't exist these days, right? We can't really do bikurim. Farmers have no mitzvah bikurim today. You need a beis hamikdash. But you could do it with all mitzvahs. And look at the Rambam at the end of in Hilchas Yisurim Mizbeach. He says as follows: Kol davar shu l'shem hakel ha'tayv shehe min ha'noa v'ha'tayv in bona beis tefila. Let's say you build a shul, ye'noa mi beis yeshivasi. The shul that a community builds is supposed to be more beautiful than the homes in the community. Now, sometimes that happens, sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes people live in mansions and they daven in like some, you know, very, very ramshackle shul. That's not the way it's supposed to be. If your house is beautiful, enjoy it, but make a shul more beautiful. Hech il rov, yachal min atayv. You want to, you're feeding somebody that's hungry, you should feed him from the best. V'amasuk shebeshulchanay. Don't give the ani when he comes to your door and he asks for a meal. Don't try to, you know, scrounge around in your cupboard looking for the cheapest thing to give him to fill him up. Find the best that you can give him and give him that. Kasa arm, you want to cloak a person that's naked. You want to give somebody clothing to wear. Yechasim and ayyafesh shebeksusa. What do you give him? Do you give him your old shiny suits and your worn out shoes, or do you give him your brand new suit, your brand new shoes, the best? Kidesh davar, you want to make something hektish, yaktish min hayavshim. Don't look to be maktish your bad cow, your bad sheep, your bad ox. You want to make something hektish, find the best in your flock and give that to the Rabbi Nishalim. The kachu aimer, and this is what the pasuk says, kol chelev l'Hashem. All of the fat, chelev means like the geshmak. All of the geshmak, the fatty part of the animal goes to Hashem. Do we do this ourselves? Sometimes yes, sometimes no. A lot of times when we're giving away tzedakah, we're giving away our clothing to a clothing drive or toys to a toy drive, we look for like, very, very often we look for the stuff that we don't need anymore. I'm done with this suit, I'm done with this tie, I'm done with this hat, that I could give. My good stuff, why would I want to give that away? The Rambam is saying that when a person wants to really do the tzedakah the right way, when you want to do any mitzvah in the Torah the right way, the best thing to do is, you, as hard as it is, you give the best that you have. I have I'm very proud of my yichas, my great-great-grandfather, was one of the Gedalei Adar. He lived in Germany in a city called Würzburg in the 1800s. He was known as the Würzburger Rav. And he was a very big Paisik. He was one of the greatest Paiskim of his time, and he was a tremendous Talmud Chacham. But there's a story that's told about him that ties in really perfectly with this Rambam, that once he was giving a shir in his yeshiva in Würzburg, and in the middle of the shir, an ani walks in to ask him something, to ask him for some money. And, all right, so he finished up shir, and then he approaches the ani, and he says, what can I do for you? He says, he looks down at his shoes are all tattered, all torn, and he says, I'm walking from town to town, and I need a new pair of shoes. I need a pair of shoes. So the Würzburger Rav, in those days, it wasn't like you go to a Century 21 and you buy like as many shoes as you want. In those days, if you wanted a pair of shoes, you had to go to a shoemaker, a cobbler is the fancy word for a shoemaker, and have a custom-made pair of shoes. That's the only way you could buy shoes. They didn't have this concept of mass-produced shoes. So you had to have one, and it was very expensive, and it was like a big deal. You know, when you finally got it, it was like a big simcha for you. The Würzburger had just ordered himself a brand new pair of Shabbos shoes. And he was wearing his weekday shoes. His weekday shoes were also in good condition, but he ran home. He brought back his brand new Shabbos shoes, which I don't think he wore yet once. And he gave that to the ani. And the ani, I assume, was the same size as him. And he went away very, very happy. And they asked the Talmidim, who saw this whole thing, and they knew that this was his new Shabbos shoes. It was a big deal he just ordered. He says, use shoes he already has. When he's coming and he's asking for a pair of shoes, you have to give the best to him. He wants a brand new pair of shoes. So that's what I gave him. It's hard. It's such a hard thing to do, to really give from your personal best and give that away to the Rabbi Nishlam, or give it away to an ani, or give it as a mitzvah or as a chesed. It's very hard to do that. But that's what the Torah expects from us. Hine daivkim al adelos lahatrim lahachnasas kala. They knock on your door, and you open the door, and they're collecting for achnasas kala, for a, you know, a poor bride that needs to get married. Ma'isim, what do? Mechapsim eza chefetz yashin shegibal matan meza daida. So they're collecting, you know, for a kalas. Okay, I got a present at my wedding. I never used it. It was like not interesting to use. It was, so I go down to my basement. I find it. I fish it out. It's already, you know, 100 years old. It's all tarnished. The box is broken. Perfect. So that's what I'm going to give. That's what I'm going to contribute to this kala. We have no use for it. So it's perfect, right? Vine save save mispatchim menu about kol rebbe. Everything, it's a win-win. Share gamar vicha mitzvah. We get a mitzvah. And we get rid of this stuff. It's just collecting dust in our basement. Of a leikach tzarech lase, says Rav Pinkus, that's not what we're supposed to be doing. Because you have to give the best. That's our bikurim. Our bikurim is to give the best to the Rabbeinu Shalom, to give our best. Whatever you're giving to the Rabbeinu Shalom has to be of the finest quality, not the cheapest, not taking shortcuts. I love a story that I often say, and it happens to be true, believe it or not. Some of the stories I say may not be true. I don't know, you know, if you see them in books, and you know, you don't know. But this actually happened to me, so I can attest to the fact that it was true. There was a bachur in yeshiva who loved the Pittsburgh Steelers. Pittsburgh Steelers was he is from Pittsburgh, and that was his team. You know, they're very Steelers fans are known to be really, you know, meshugla davarecha. They love their team. Anyway, the Pittsburgh Steelers that year made it to the Super Bowl. And this boy was in heaven. He was like mamish, like going crazy. As you know, he wore all the merch. He had all the, you know, the Steelers helmets, the Steelers jackets, the jerseys, the sneakers, whatever. He had everything of the Steelers. So we have a minig in yeshiva, those of you that might be new in yeshiva, that there's, on the night of the Super Bowl, we make in yeshiva what's called Super Mishmar, which means that if you learn in the Beis Medrash during the hours that the Super Bowl is playing, then you get like a Safra gift card, and you also get like doggies, like a whole Super Bowl fair, you know, the wings and the poppers and whatever, and you get mamish. It's a very, very popular program. We've been doing it for many years. There was a very wonderful Talmud, Josh Rohr, who started it, I don't know, maybe 15 years ago, and it gets, I think, more and more people every year. Anyway,
it's done at his own.
No. This is way before Vicente. He does something else, but this was, I think we might be a pioneer. He does something different. That's another thing. So I happened to be here that night by Night Seder for that Mishmar, that Super Mishmar. And the last boy that I thought would be by this Mishmar was by the Mishmar. This guy who was mamish crazy about the Steelers. I never met a Steelers fan that loved the Steelers more than him. I said, do you realize, maybe your calendar is off or something, do you realize that tonight's the Super Bowl? He says, yeah. I said, and I'm sure you know that the Steelers are playing in the Super Bowl this year. Yeah. He says, I said, so what are you doing here? So he says, Rabbi, he says, you know, you learned about this concept of kol chelav l'Hashem. Supposed to give the bikurim to Hashem, the finest fruits that you have, the best pair of shoes that you have. You're supposed to give all of the best that you have to the Rabbeinu Shalom. He says, I don't have any money. I'm a yeshiva bacher. I don't have any money.
Was it part of the tumor?
Yeah. He says, I don't have any money. He says, I don't have any fancy clothes. to give to the Rabbeinu Shalom, to give to Aniyim. I don't have any fruits to give to him. He says, there's one thing that I have that's my chelev. The one thing that I have that's my chelev is the Pittsburgh Steelers. That's what I have. That's it. He says, I decided that I'm going to take the most precious thing that I have on the night that I would I would give $1 million if I had it to watch the Super Bowl right now. But I decided to dedicate that to the Rabbeinu Shalom. I gave up the Steelers for the Rabbeinu Shalom. And I'm learning here by Mishmael. I'm sure I'll watch the game after Mishmael. Right now, I'm giving up the Pittsburgh Steelers for the Rabbeinu Shalom. There is no greater story of Kol Chelev LaHashem. That's what it means. That's our mitzvah bikurim. You're going to learn this parsha this week and say, that's such an antiquated mitzvah that we're learning about, mitzvah bikurim. No, mitzvah bikurim applies to each and every one of us. Now, we might not all be Steelers fans, but maybe we like other things in life. Maybe we like playing ball. Maybe we like watching video games. Maybe whatever it is that we really enjoy, every time that we're about to do something, and there's nothing wrong, by the way, with playing ball. It's a good thing. But if, let's say, I'm really in the mood to play ball, and I say, you know what, but let me learn a little bit first, or instead, that is very chashuv, that you're giving up what you love doing for the Rabbeinu Shalom. It's not always easy to come to Night Seder. People want to do their own things. Either they have to study, or they want to chill, or they want to, you know, veg out, and, you know, while check up the news and, you know, surf and what. But when you come to Night Seder, and I don't mean to imply that Night Seder is voluntary, because it's not, but when you come to Night Seder, you can either come because there's a gun to my head and I need the, or you can come to Night Seder because, yeah, I want to do 100 other things right now, but I'm giving all of those things up, Kol Chelev LaHashem. It's a completely different Night Seder when you think that way. If you're going to Night Seder because you're forced to go to Night Seder, or First Seder, or Sundays, or Fridays, or whatever, then, okay, you get schar, of course, but it's not the same as thinking about all the things that I could be doing and being miskaber over all of those things, overriding all of those desires, and giving all those desires up for Hashem. That's Bikurim. I'll tell you one more thing that we all give up for the Rabbeinu Shalom every single day. When Bachim your age, who could do anything that they want, right? This is the prime of your life. You do anything that you want. I'm sure we all have friends who are, you know, who decided instead of going to a yeshiva program, they went to, you know, a secular program, and who knows what they're doing in those secular programs, and they're living, you know, the life, quote unquote, and they're enjoying Eilam Hazeh v'chulei. We could have all done that. We're giving up the best years of our life, the years that we could do, you know, theoretically, whatever we want to do, and instead we're buckling down, we're giving these years to the Rabbeinu Shalom. We're learning Gemara, we're learning Chumash, we're learning Musar, we're doing our college here, we're staying away from Taivas, and we're trying to be as strong as we can and being good Yeshiva Bachrim, doing the right thing at the right time. When we're able to sacrifice all the things that theoretically we could have done, just like our friends are doing, and we're saying, but we're going to do this, we're giving these years the chelev of our life, we're giving up to the Rabbeinu Shalom, because this is what the Rabbeinu Shalom wants from us, there's no greater mitzvah of Bikurim than that. Now, if you're not thinking that way, then you should start thinking that way, because not to make you feel like you're missing something, but to make these years much more chashuv. Because if you think about it that way, that I'm giving all these years up for you, Rabbeinu Shalom, I'm giving the best years of my life to serve you, that's an altogether different Aveda. That's a Bikurim. That's how Kadosh Baruch Hu says, wow, you're giving that up for me. There's an Ava that you could feel at that point. And that's what the Mitzvah Bikurim is all about. That's what Rav Pinkus takes from this parasha. And Mitzvah Hashem, if we think about this and we really try to use it in our life, in our daily life, and think, what can I give up for the Rabbeinu Shalom? What are those things that I personally love and that I want to sacrifice to the Rabbeinu Shalom, we have, that's the way to start really building a close kesher with the Rabbeinu Shalom, a personal kesher, an avodika kesher. And this is a great time of year to do it, right? This is right before Rosh Hashanah. We were looking for his chosim. We're looking for ways to endear ourselves to the Rabbeinu Shalom, to create the ani l'daydi v'daydi li relationship. The way you build a relationship is by giving up something for the other person or for the other being. And look at what the Rabbeinu Shalom gives up for us. Look at all that he does for us. He gives us food and shelter. He finds us a beautiful yeshiva, Rabbeim, and friends and family and air condition and heat. And he gives us so much, clothing. And it behooves us to try to think of what we could give up for him. And when we have that relationship that each one of us is saying to the other, what can I do for you more? That's when the Ani L'daydi V'daydi Li really begins. And that's when we can come into Rosh Hashanah Mitzvah Hashem with that great Zchus and Din that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees that we're not perfect, but we really are trying to better ourselves and better our Avdus to the Rabbeinu Shalom.